The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. In the previous sermon from chapter 11 of the book of Nehemiah, we saw that the Jews in Nehemiah's day had committed themselves to God. Today, we see from chapter 12 that they also committed their praise to God. We read in verse 43 that the joyful praise of those in Jerusalem was heard afar off. These Jewish brethren were so excited about the place where the Lord had brought them that they could not contain their joy, but shouted it out so that all could hear. These Jews ought to be the example for us as we commit our praise to God for all He has done for us. Join us today for the first half of this sermon entitled Committing Our Praise to God.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship Your holy name.
Yeah. want you to turn to Nehemiah, the 12th chapter. As you turn there, I want to, some of you will remember this. Some of you are too young. I remember 1980, the Olympic hockey team, U.S. team, was the underdog by a great margin. The Russians were always winning the gold medal, and they were there was just no way our little amateur team from America could win. And you may, some of you recall that are my age for sure, that I was actually watching it. In the semifinals, the Americans hockey team played the Russians and won it by one goal. And I remember that as the time was ticking down on that game, the announcer, Al Michaels, made the statement, "Do you believe in miracles?" And then when the time ticked down, it was like the whole stadium erupted in praise, and you could hear it coming through the television. There was a more recent situation where Alabama was playing Auburn, and I do wish Brother Roger Parker was here to hear me give any credence to this whatsoever, where Alabama was playing Auburn, and it was certainly a time when Alabama had a chance to win the national championship. They just had to get past Auburn, and we ended up being tied up at the end of the game. And you may recall that 1 second was put back on the clock, and we tried to kick a field goal, and instead it was short, and the Auburn player caught it in the end zone and ran it all the way back for a touchdown with no time left, and Auburn won. They call that the kick six. I was watching it on TV, and you could hear the crowd noise coming through the TV. It was so loud in that stadium. And there's a third one I was actually present for. In 2009, Alabama was playing Tennessee, as they were this past weekend, at Bryant-Denny Stadium, and I was there, and Austin was there. I can't remember if Mason was with us. And that was the year, the first time Alabama won a national championship under Nick Saban. But we were down, or we were up 12-10 with time running out, and Tennessee was kicked there in range, perfect range, to kick a field goal and beat us. And you may recall a big lineman, defensive lineman named Terrence Cody, blocked the kick. And I was there, and the sound of that stadium around me, it hurt my ears. It was so loud, okay? All right, now. So what's this got to do with anything? we're gonna go into chapter 12 tonight. And after we read some names of those who came back from Babylon with Zerubbabel and the first return from Babylon to Jerusalem, we're gonna read about a time when the Jewish people under Nehemiah dedicated they had a worship service. They dedicated the walls of Jerusalem that had been restored. And in verse 43, it says, "On that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced." And it says, "For God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off." Now, all the things I've told you about are great. I enjoyed two of them. I didn't enjoy the kick six, but I enjoyed two of them. And they were great times of celebration. And I understand there are times in our lives, from a secular sense, that we have things to rejoice in. But what I want to read to you about tonight is something much greater than a kick six or a hockey game or a blocked field goal. It's a time when God blessed his people to be reassembled and the walls to be rebuilt, and they dedicated those walls, and they were more excited, I believe, on that day than I was on the day when Mount Cody blocked the kick. Their joy was heard even afar off. So we're going to come to that, but I wanted to just lay that out there as a preface tonight to be thinking about this as we go through chapter 12. So you may recall that in chapters 11 and 12, we're talking about committing to God. We talked about chapter 11 last time, where these Israelites committed themselves to God. And we read all about that, and we won't go back over it. Tonight, we're going to see where they commit their praise to God, beginning in chapter 12. And so the first thing we read about in chapter 12 is a recitation of the history of those who came back from Babylon with Zerubbabel. Now, you may recall that the timeline here, I just kind of go over it quickly. The Jews were 70 years in captivity to the Babylonians. In 539 BC, the Persians defeated the Babylonians. You can read about that in Daniel chapter 5. And then in 536 BC, or around that time, the Jews were finally allowed to return to Jerusalem and to Israel, to the Promised Land, under Cyrus the Great. You read about that over in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. This was what they call the first return to Jerusalem. And that was 70 years after they had gone into captivity. This was the time when the temple was rebuilt. And you know that story from Haggai and Zechariah. We won't go back over that. But ultimately, the temple was completed around 516 B.C. And then in about 457 B.C., there was a second return of Jews, another group of Jews. The biggest bulk of them that went back the first time. But Ezra came back from Babylon, and he led 4,000 or 5,000 Jews there. And that's when the law was restored. You can read about that in the book of Ezra, and we touch on it a little bit in Nehemiah. But then Nehemiah's day, this was what we call the third return of the Jews from Babylon. It occurred around 444 B.C., and it was about 15 years after Ezra, okay? And in Nehemiah's day, as we've seen, the walls were rebuilt. So the temple was rebuilt under Zerubbabel, the law was restored under Ezra, and the walls were restored and rebuilt under Nehemiah. And by the way, I did a little research on this, and interestingly, notice 444 B.C. is 457 B.C. is when Ezra returned. If you look at your history, biblical history, but also secular history books out there, you'll learn that Esther became the queen of Persia around 178 B.C., okay? Approximately 20 years before Ezra returned, and maybe about 30 years or 35 years before Nehemiah returned. It's interesting, is it not? I believe Esther laid the groundwork for this to occur. The Lord used her in that way. But be that as it may, what we start out with here in chapter 12 is a little history lesson, if you will. And he's laying out those that came back first. Now, I think that's important. We're going to read it. We're not going to skip over this because I think we've tried to go verse by verse. But I think it's important because what it appears to me is happening in chapter 12 is Nehemiah is sort of laying out what God has done for them. And don't we do that from time to time? Isn't it good for us from time to time to remember what God has done? I know here at this church, I think back to, man, in 2011 this happened, in 2012 that happened, in 20. You know, you keep moving forward. I think about these things when we've had times of revival and restoration here at Zion Church. And just expand that out to your life. Sometimes, you know, we need to go back and take stock of where we've come from and what God has done for us. You know, I've said this many times. If you read about the slaying of Goliath by David, you'll notice that he sent his head one place and his sword another place. But he kept his armor in his tent. He kept his armor in his own tent there. I don't know what he did with it ultimately, but I say this. I believe he did that so he could look at it and say, you know, God was with me that day. Now, there are days when I don't feel, God's always with me, but there's days when I don't feel him. I don't feel him so much. But I can look at days when he was, and I can go back to those times, and I can say, you know, I don't feel him today, but there was a time he was with me. There were several times Jacob and Abraham and others had to go back to Bethel, the house of God, back to the place where they had met God, if you will, where they had been with the Lord. And so I suspect that's what Nehemiah is doing here as he writes this, is laying out the history so we'll be reminded about how good God has been to them. So just look with me, if you will, in Nehemiah chapter 12, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. We're going to read a bunch of verses here and a bunch of names. But think about it as we read it. What if you were one of these names? What if the Bible were being written today? Would you be in a position to where someone might record your name as being one of the faithful ones? See, I think that's why God is showing us here that he hadn't forgotten the faithfulness of his people. Now, these are the priests and the Levites that went up with Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, Sariah, Jeremiah, Ezra, Amariah, Malak, Hattush, Shechaniah, Rehum, Meremoth, Iddo, Ginetho, Abijah, Miamin, Maadiah, Bilgah, Shemaiah, and Joiarib, Jediah, Salu, Amok, Hilkiah, Jediah. These were the chief of the priests and of their brethren in the days of Jeshua. And Jeshua was the high priest, if you remember, Joshua the son of Josedek, he's called in another place. Moreover, the Levites, Jeshua, Benui, Kadmiel, Sherebiah, Judah, and Mattaniah, which was over the thanksgiving, he and his brethren. Also Bakbukiah and Uni and their brethren were over against them in the watches. And Jeshua begat Joachim, and Joachim also begat Eliashib, and Eliashib begat Joiada, and Joiada begat Jonathan, and Jonathan begat Jadua. And in the days of Joachim were priests, the chief of the fathers, of Sariah, Mariah, of Jeremiah, Hananiah, of Ezra, Meshulam, of Amariah, Jehoiachin, of Melechu, Jonathan, of Shebaniah, Joseph, of Harim, Adna, of Merioth, Helkiah, of Iddo, Zechariah, of Ginnathon, Meshulam, of Abijah, Zikri, of Miniman, of Moadiah, Piltai, of Bilgah, Shamua, of Shimei, Jehonathan, and of Joiarib, Mattaniah, Jediah, of Jediah, Uzi, of Salai, Kalai, of Amok, Eber, of Hilkiah, Hashabiah, of Jediah, Nathaniel. The Levites in the days of Eliashib, Jehoiada, and Jochanan, and Jadua were recorded chief of the fathers. Also the priests to the reign of Darius the Persian. The sons of Levi, the chief of the fathers, were written in the book of the Chronicles, even until the days of Jochanan, the son of Eliashib. And the chief of the Levites, Hashabiah, Sherebiah, and Jeshua, the son of Kadmiel, with their brethren over against them to praise and to give thanks according to the commandment of David, the man of God, ward over against ward. Mattaniah and Bakbukiah, Obadiah, Meshulam, Talman, Akub were porters keeping the ward at the thresholds of the gates. These were in the days of Joachim, the son of Jeshua, the son of Josedek, and in the days of Nehemiah the governor and of Ezra the priest, the scribe. Now what we did, we started out with those who came back with Zerubbabel, and we through lineage, he brought us all the way up, you see, to the time of Nehemiah, the governor, and of Ezra, the priest, the scribe. And that leads us into the dedication of the walls here, beginning in verse 27. And let me just say this too. Sometimes I realize those long lists of names can get boring, but like I said, they're recorded there for a reason. God has laid out his faithful men and women. He has put their names down. Now, we're not trying to get our names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and this is not the Lamb's Book of Life. But I would love to know that God has made a list of the times that we here at Zion Church have gotten together. You know, in Malachi, he says that the Lord's people spoke often to each other, and a book of remembrance was written for them before the Lord. I believe the Lord takes note when we're faithful to him and to his word and to his kingdom. So now we see the dedication of the walls. And let's begin reading here. We're going to read just a few verses to start with. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem and from the villages of Netophathi, also from the house of Gilgal and out of the fields of Geba and Azmaveth, for the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the walls. Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate. And after them went Hoshaiah and half of the princes of Judah and Azariah, Ezra, Meshullam, Judah and Benjamin and Shemaiah and Jeremiah and certain of the priest's sons with trumpets, namely Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Milkiah, the son of Zachar, the son of Asaph, and his brethren Shemaiah and Azariel, Milalai, Gilalai, Maai, Nathaniel and Judah, Hanani, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, and Ezra the scribe before them. And at the fountain gate, which was over against them, they went up by the stairs of the city of David at the going up of the wall above the house of David, even unto the water gate eastward. And the other company of them gave thanks and went over against them, and I after them. So Nehemiah went with this company. Half went one way, half went the other. And half of the people upon the wall, from beyond the tower of the furnaces even unto the broad wall, and from above the gate of Ephraim, and above the old gate, and above the fish gate, and the tower of Hananiel, and the tower of Maah, even unto the sheep gate, and they stood still in the prison gate. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and the half of the rulers with me, and the priests Eliakim, Maaseiah, Miniamin, Micaiah, Eloani, Zechariah, and Hananiah with trumpets, and Maaseiah, and Shemaiah, and Eleazar, and Uzi, and Jehohanan, Malchijah, and Elam, and Ezer, and the singers sang loud with Jezahiah, their overseer. Now again, that's a lot of reading, but I want you to notice what has happened here. Now remember, they've had workers and watchers, laborers and guards on this wall, but now the wall's finished. And the work is not done. Now he's got worshipers on the wall, okay? Now, the labor, I believe, the workers and those who guarded and watched, they were serving the Lord. But now they've got things in good shape, if you will, in a safe place there in Jerusalem. You know, the problem with the walls being broken down and the gates burned up with fire is the enemy could just come in and out at will. There was no safety there. There's a reason we need to build up the walls of the kingdom of God. We need to do it in a spiritual sense today. There need to be bulwarks. There need to be towers. You know, he tells us in one place over, and I believe it's Isaiah, he says, to walk about Zion and see the towers. Count the towers. Count the bulwarks. See the palaces. Those things were literal in that day, but they're figurative today. They're symbolic today. The bulwarks are the walls that protect you. They're the defensive structures. Where do they come from? They come from the Word of God. They teach you to flee fornication. They teach you to stay away from the things of this world. They teach you not to be swayed by the philosophies of men. What about the towers? Where do they come from? They come from the Word of God. What do towers do? Towers lift you up high enough that you can see the enemy coming from a farther distance. That's what we're supposed to do here. Part of my job is to be a watchman on the wall. It's to warn you of the enemy. Beloved, the enemy is out there, and you can see him farther away if you'll stay in the Word of God and if you'll stay in the kingdom of God. And what are the palaces? Well, the palaces, they also come from the teaching of the Word of God. That's the nourishment. That's the place where the king's family is nourished and rests and can serve him better and be together in fellowship. You see, sounds a lot like the church, doesn't it? All these things sound like the church that's built upon the Word of God. Well, these worshipers now, so now they have the kingdom, they have the city safer because of the walls being built back, and those workers and watchers can be replaced by worshipers. They can focus more upon the worship of Jehovah God. Now here we see in verse 27, there's a dedication of the wall there. The people had been dedicated. You go back to chapters 8 through 10, and you'll see that they had had the greatest worship services they'd ever had in their lifetimes. And in fact, in generations, they had been dedicated, and they kept being dedicated. They kept praising God. Even after the church service was over, they didn't just go back to the old ways. They stayed focused upon the Lord. And now they're dedicating the work that the people have done. Now, I'll just say this. No building... this building here is dedicated to the service of God, but it wouldn't be worth anything if the people inside of it weren't dedicated to the service of God. I thank you for that. I praise you for that. I encourage you and warn you to keep doing that, because the building is nothing without, it doesn't matter how much you dedicate it if the people are not dedicated as well. And here we have a joyful occasion. What I just read to you, the word singing is mentioned 8 times in this chapter. Thanksgiving is mentioned 6 times. Rejoicing is mentioned 7 times. And musical instruments are mentioned 3 times. And these were musical instruments approved in that day for the worship service. By the way, that's the Old Testament way of worship, right? But they were approved in that day for the worship service. And it's a joyful occasion. And we saw where the leaders and the singers were divided into 2 groups. And one went one way on the wall singing and praising God. One went the other way. And they came around and met at a certain point on the walls in the temple area where the temple was constructed. And that's where the service climaxed with sacrifices being offered to the Lord.
We're going to pause the message here for now, but we want you to join us again tomorrow where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.